In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be with you. Boy, what a week I had last week. You know, so it was really busy. I mean, so obviously I did some shows from New Philadelphia, Ohio, and you know, that was a great experience. And then I flew home for half a day. Then I flew to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and gave the keynote address for Real Presence Radio, their fundraiser there, which was awesome. Had an amazing time. In fact, I'm speaking at all of their fundraising events for all of their radio markets next year. So I'm going to be in Bismarck and, Dubuque. I'm going to be in Fargo and Minnesota and some other places. Yeah, so I'm looking, really looking forward to that. Real Presence Radio is doing a fantastic job helping to bring people closer to a deeper love and intimacy of Jesus Christ. So it's great to be able to assist our EWTN radio partners in their fundraising events to keep the Word of God alive in the hearts of so many people who need to hear that message in our world and in our church today. And so I flew from there. I was scheduled to speak at the John Paul II radio fundraising banquet, get the keynote address. That's in El Centro, California, about 2 hours from San Diego. But my flight leaving was 5.5 hours late, leaving Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So end up still going to San Diego, but missing the gig. So I got there too late to be able to drive 2 hours to make it to the event on time. So I spent the night in San Diego and then flew to Pittsburgh, where I spoke at the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. They had a deacon conference in Steubenville. So went to Steubenville, and that of all the talks this year, this was the one I was looking forward to the most, and the one I was most nervous about. Because first of all, it's the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. So, I mean, Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergsma, you know, man, so just so many amazing, amazing, people there. And, you know, they invited me to come and speak. So I was like, you know, wow, man, I'm speaking with like Scott Hahn and Dr. Bergsma and a couple of the amazing professors they had there. And, you know, and I was part of that. And so my talk was, I was stretching out a little more academically than I usually do, which I was looking forward to, because it was more like teaching. You know, I had a whiteboard, and I was like writing stuff on the whiteboard, which I never do for talks. But it was kind of fun. It was very different. It was really fun. And I hope that the deacons that were there enjoyed it. I mean, I know I did. I had a lot of fun. My topic was the role of the diaconate in the hierarchy of holy orders, you know, and maybe I'll do a show about that down the road. But it's basically talking about how integral the diaconate is to the hierarchy of holy orders. So men in the seminary should still be ordained deacons. They're deacons forever. What we need to do is develop a deeper theology of the diaconate as it's connected to the priesthood and to the episcopacy. And so that was basically my talk. I gave theological and biblical foundations for that, and then some practical things at the end that we can do to facilitate that, both in diocese and the seminary levels. So, and then after that, you know, I there was mass. That was Saturday night. The mass was the next day, yesterday morning. So I gave the homily at the mass. And then, I did a podcast with Dr. Scott Hahn, and some of you may have seen the picture I posted of the two of us, after we did the podcast at St. Paul Center, holding the brand new Ignatius Study Bible, Old and New Testament. And I'm definitely going to be bringing Dr. Han on to talk about that. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal resource, not just for professionals or catechists or, you know, folks like that, but the person in the pew as well, to really get to know and to love God's word in a very deep and personal way. And this is a huge commentary, but it's grabbing. We've been waiting for years, like over 20 years, for this to be published, and it's finally arrived, and I got a free copy, so I have not had time to dig into it. I had a lot to catch up on. Got back last night, and feeling a tiny bit under the weather, so I decided to sleep a little more today and get some rest. And I'm jonesing to dig into that commentary and explore the Old Testament commentary on Scripture. So, but yeah, we'll be bringing Dr. Han on. In fact, we'll have Dr. Bergsma on later this week as well to talk about the Jubilee. But today on Beacon of Truth, we're going to be talking about youth and young adults who inspire. Yes, this is going to, we're not speaking of Jubilee. We've got the Jubilee year coming up. Pope Francis announced the year of Jubilee, and probably two young adults are going to be, well, one teenager and one young adult are going to be canonized as saints. Carlos Acutis, who's a teenager who had a very powerful and strong devotion to Christ's real presence in the Eucharist and Eucharistic miracles. And Pier Giorgio Frassati is another one who is most likely going to be canonized a saint during this Jubilee year. So very exciting. So we're going to talk about, even from the Bible, you know, and from in our contemporary church today, youth and young adults who inspire us. Who are some of your favorite saints? We're going to talk about folks like Samuel and David, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Felicity and Perpetua, St. Joan of Arc, St. Maria Goretti, it's probably one of my favorites, Pier Giorgio Frassati, Carlos Acutis, and then a young lady who's not on the road yet, but probably will be soon, named Maria Middleton. So hopefully we'll get to all of these young folks today. But would love for you, of course, to be part of the program. Would love to hear from you. Who are some of the youth and young adult saints and blesseds who inspire you? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And, of course, love doing this show, especially because of the great people working to bring you this show each and every day of the week, of the weekday. Matt Gabinski screening calls, and Charles Berry doing social media. And the one and only Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing, man?
I'm good. We actually want to welcome Michael McCall as our social media guy now that Charles has left us. So,
Charles,
that's official, okay, as today. So that was
Wow.
The pendulum has shifted, and so Michael joins the team. So we're excited to have him in the afternoon.
Okay. So Michael McCall is doing social media from now on.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I have to make sure I change that then.
All right. But I'm good. We decorated for Christmas this weekend, so we are officially in the throes. All the lights are up, all the garland is out, and, you know, every little ornament that we could possibly fit on our tree, which I say is a tiny tree compared to the size of the room, but my wife reminds me it is a very tall tree. So there's a lot of ornaments, and we had to, of course, reminisce about every ornament before it went on the tree. So I was like, let's get her done. Like, I was just like, come on, this is great, this is cute. So I just, you know, it's there. It's up. It's ready.
All right.
We're in full mode now.
All right. And what kind of music were you guys listening to as you were putting up the tree and decorating?
So we have, this makes me sound so old. We have Firestone Christmas compilation albums. So Firestone Tires used to do compilations. You could buy these at gas stations. And my mom and dad had them, which passed on to me. My wife had some from her parents. And so those became our collection of Christmas music. So it was all the songs. So we had everything from, and it's artists from, you know, Julie Andrews to Frank Sinatra. I mean, it's just a gamut, and there's some choirs on there. So it was, and of course, being in a house full of theater and vocalists, they're harmonizing with the album as we're listening. So that was probably the coolest part of it, was pulling out our Firestone Christmas records.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Yeah. And of course, you have a record player, right? So you can still.
Of course.
Of course.
I got 600 vinyl records, man. If there's an apocalypse, streaming goes down, I'm good.
All right. Well, you listen to Beacon of Truth. We're talking about youth and young adults who inspire us. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. You know, Scott, you know, that's very interesting groove. It's kind of got that Middle Eastern feel to it,
yeah.
Kind of, you know?
It's kind of a hip-hop meets intercultural. I don't even know what all is happening in there, but it's a lot. I was like, all right, we got bottles. We're hitting bottles and...
Yeah, it's very cool.
I like a good hip-hop swell, you know, it's just
kind
of... Yeah,
it's like if you go to, like, Qatar or someplace like that, or Saudi Arabia, like, if you go to a club, like, that's kind of, like, what you would hear, that kind of fusion,
sure.
If you will.
Yeah.
You know? I like that, though.
Figure we needed that for a Monday, you know?
Yeah. All right, you listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burt Sivers, and today we're talking about youth and young adults who inspire. Who are some of the youth and young adult saints who inspire you? You know, it looks like we're going to have two more next year. Carlos Acutis and Pier Giorgio Frassati are a youth and a young adult who looks like they're going to be canonized as saints next year during the Jubilee year. So I thought it'd be cool to hear from you, to hear youth and young adult saints that inspire, and maybe inspire your kids, you know, to really love their one holy Catholic apostolic faith. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to remind you to sign up for EWTN News email, so that way you can keep up on what's happening and trending, but also with a Catholic lens. It's a trusted Catholic news insight that you can get directly to your inbox. Just go to EWTN.com and click subscribe.
That music, that means it's time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is the part of the show we break open God's word in the Sefer Telachim, or the Book of Sung Praises, better known as the Psalms, in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms, a liturgical psalter approved for use by the U.S. bishops in Mass and prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And so we're going to look at Psalm 119, which is the longest of all the Psalms. It's 176 verses, and they're broken into 22 sections, each section representing a letter of the Jewish alphabet. And we're going to look at the very last letter, which is Tau. So verses 169 to 176. So Psalm 119, 169 to 176. And of course, you can listen to this Soulful Psalm segment as its own podcast. Go to Podcast Central, EW10.com, or on the EWTN app, or even Spotify or iTunes will have it listed there as well. All right. So the only prescript for the Psalms in Psalm 119, which is, by the way, is an extended meditation on the law of God and aligning ourselves with God's law. Right, so the only prescript is actually the actual letter, the Hebrew letter, its name of the letter itself. So here, it just says Tau, right? Again, which is the last letter, 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. All right, verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me insight by your word. Right? So again, not just words in the book, but the word that became flesh for us. Again, as this psalm points forward, points toward our ultimate and our ultimate purpose, life with God forever. It's the Lord that gives us insight. Yes, through his word, through the scriptures, of course, but mostly also in prayer. Right? So our delving into scripture should help deepen our life of prayer, to open our hearts more deeply to receive God's word into our lives. Right? So give me insight by your word. Let me know you, Lord, and let me know myself even better in and through your word. Let my pleading come before you. Rescue me according to your promise. Right? Rescue me from what? Rescue me from temptations? Rescue me from sometimes even people in my life who are trying to separate me from God's love. Right? Come to my rescue, Lord. Be with me. Stand by me. So I can hear your word constantly in my heart. Verse 171, my lips shall proclaim your praise. Right? That sounds familiar, right? Psalm 70, written by David. Oh God, come to my assistance. Oh Lord, make haste to help me. Right? So we have, my lips shall proclaim your praise. Because you teach me your statutes. Right? Right. So we're joyful when we align ourselves with the law of God. See, God's law is not heteronomous. That means it doesn't come from the outside and imposes itself on us. It's not something that comes from the outside and takes away our freedom. Well, you can't do whatever you want because you have to follow God's law. No, it's by following God's law that actually makes us free. See, that's the contradiction of the culture. It says following the rules of the church, following commandments, following moral codes, following objective truth enslaves you. No, it's freedom unfettered, right? Freedom unfettered, freedom that does not align itself with objective truth. That's what makes you a slave, right? That's actual slavery. My tongue will sing of your promise, for your commands are just. Of course, God's commands are just. And our hearts know that. Our hearts know that. Our hearts are crying out to the living God, seeking his love, seeking his mercy, seeking his truth. And of course, for us today, who's that truth? The truth is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6 continues. Let your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. Right? It's like God reaches into our lives with his hand. Again, these beautiful anthropomorphic images that we have, because of course God doesn't have hands, he's pure spirit. But the idea of he's reaching into our hearts, reaching into our lives with his incredible love and mercy, always ready to assist us. When we choose him, when we freely choose to say yes to him, God will always be there to help us and assist us. You got any thoughts, Ace?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we tend to underestimate, or we wait on asking for God's assistance on things after we've already added so much more to what's happening in the situation, right? So like when we're going through something, well, I'll just do this and I'll fix it. And rather than going to God first and seeing if even that is the right and proper thing for us to do. So we end up with this huge stack of things that we end up having to undo, or it takes even longer for us to even hear from him because we're just still trying to make the one thing work, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's the road to God is sometimes not always straight.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it takes the verses, sometimes it's a fork in the road. We have to make decisions, but we should always be trying to make those decisions, live from the heart of Christ, trying to do what we believe in our hearts that God is calling us to do.
Yeah.
You know, even if it may be wrong, we don't know what, you know, quote unquote, I put quote unquote wrong, because if we follow a road that we sincerely believe with all of our hearts that God is calling us to, it may not actually be what God is calling us to.
Yeah.
But God will still allow us to take that road because he needs to teach us something.
Yeah.
We need to learn something. And from there, that will help get us back on the path that God wants us to be on, as we continue to discern all of that in our lives.
Yeah. Well, something I thought about this morning as I was, you know, thinking about our topic today, you know, youth and young adults and, you know, those that have inspired us. Think about this, too. In our youth and young adult age, whether we were in the midst of a relationship with God or not, we were creating habits of how we deal with things in our life. And if we didn't do it well, now, again, we don't know what we don't know, right? It's not until you have that awakening with God that you're like, okay, I've been doing this all wrong. Now I have to reshape all of my patterns and habits. But it's untraining ourselves of the old habits of how we cope with things, whether we lean on drugs and alcohol or pornography or whatever, or anything that was not of God. Or even leaning on our own ego and, you know, talents and whatever that we have, thinking that we've achieved what we've achieved. And so, again, going all the way back, I was thinking about this morning, going all the way back to the patterns of the things that I created as a child, I did carry those with me as an adult. And even though I was raised in the church, I still made bad choices because what if I do this instead of what I know I should do? Well, I learned real quick. And then it was a matter of whether I wanted to repeat that pattern or continue to go down this dark road rather than leaning into the peace of God, which is why in our house, anytime we're making decisions, it's always, well, where's your peace? Because if you're wrestling with something, even if you're doing it out of pride, you know there's still a little something in you that's like, I'm just going to do it just so I can say it's done. But then it ends up blowing up because it's not how God intended for it to go down anyway. So let's untrain all of our bad habits that go all the way back, because it's the littlest habit that becomes so embedded into our behavior.
Yeah, it's like it's like you're having an argument with your wife and you start to say something, and as you're saying, you're like, ooh, I really shouldn't be saying this right now.
Right.
But it still comes out, right? Because you want to, you know, you know that, oh, this is probably going to hurt her. Oh, it's probably going to, but you do it anyway.
Sure.
Right? But you know, it's like that with God sometimes too.
Yeah.
You know?
Words and tone. Like there are things that I hear the words in my head, but then I'm not aware of the tone that's about to come out of my face. Yeah. And that's what gets me in trouble.
Exactly. It continues here in verse 174. I have longed for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight. Right? So it's God's law. Why? Because we're longing for salvation. We're longing for meaning in this confused and broken world. And when we long for that salvation, that desire in the depths of our hearts, when we follow God's law, that's where our delight, our joy, our happiness comes from, because we know we're fulfilling our purpose. We know we're fulfilling our purpose. And that purpose is aligned, our hearts are aligned with God's heart. And that's where that delight comes from. That's where that joy comes from. When we follow the ways of the world, we go down that dark path. We may experience some kind of ephemeral joy, just joy on the surface. We might feel good, but that joy that comes from the very depth of our being, only God can give us that kind of joy. And so when we don't find it, we try to find it in drugs or alcohol or porn or excessive body piercings or whatever it may be. We try to do things to ourselves to experience something. I want to feel something, right? And so we do all these things so we can feel something, but really what our hearts are yearning for is a deep desire to experience God, right? To experience God. And the last couple of verses here, my soul shall live and praise you. Your judgments give me help, right? So God's judgments lift us up. It brings us out of the darkness back into the light. And because we're now in the light, we can live and praise the Lord. I have strayed like a sheep. Seek your servant. Again, I get beautiful reminder here. When I hear this verse in verse 176, I think back to David, right? When David was standing before Saul, when he wanted to fight Goliath, and Saul was trying to discourage him, because he thought he was going to be killed. And David said, no, no, no. When the lion and the bear came, I took the sheep. I went after it. I took the sheep out of its mouth. Jesus said he left the 99 behind and went after the one, right? I strayed like a sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commands, because we're always mindful of God's law working in our minds and our hearts. All right, we're talking about youth and young adults who inspire today on Beacon of Truth. 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
Good driving tune, right? Got to get our playlist together for our holiday travels.
Yeah, it's one thing people need to remember, like if they're driving, they're tired. You know, from a law enforcement perspective, you know, tired driving has the same kind of characteristics as drunk driving. So they think, turn the music up,
right?
You know, that'll keep me awake. You know,
right.
or roll the window down or something like that.
Yeah.
And so this is one of the songs that you can attempt to do that, but often, from my experience, has been that if you're going to fall asleep, you're going to fall asleep.
Or it could go the other way. You get so into the song, you don't realize that you're going too fast.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry, officer, I was enjoying the music.
Yeah, that's you got your foot hitting it. See, that's what cruise control is for.
Right.
So you could crank the music all you want, just got a cruise control, you just keep your foot on the brake just in case. You know?
That's why it's always based on speed limit, not based on tempo, because we'd be in trouble every time.
So true. We listen to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Simmers, and we're talking today about youth and young adults who inspire, because we're going to talk about the saints. We're bringing this topic up because next year, our Holy Father, Pope Francis, looks like he's going to canonize two young people, one youth, Carlos Acutis, and one young adult, Pier Giorgio Frassati. And so I thought it'd be cool to talk about youth and young adult saints, blesseds who inspire us. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Don't forget EWTN Live with Father Mitch Packwell, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern on EWTN television and a radio. Of course, a chance to get in on interviews. Deacon Harold has been on there a time or two, so you can always check that out as well on demand, EWTN.com. But check out Father Mitch with EWTN Live this Wednesday night.
All right. We're talking about youth and young adults, the saints, the blesseds, from Scripture, who inspire us today and who could be inspirations for our youth and young adults today. You know, these shouldn't be just people just we read about, but I mean, how can they really have a power influence on our lives today? That's what we're talking about. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Anthony is calling from Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 130. Anthony, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Good afternoon, Deacon. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Great to hear from you.
Great. I wanted to call in and share. I'm actually in formation right now with the Lay Cistercians of Gethsemane. One of the saints who's been guiding me is St. Raphael Arnaiz, he died at, I think he was either 26 or 27, and he was from Spain, and he suffered with diabetes for many years, and it actually took his life before he was able to profess as a Trappist. But one of the things I take from his life is viewing our relationship with God as someone accompanying us in God's divine love instead of just something to inquire about or a subject to be studied. So he's been very helpful in my spiritual life.
Oh, wonderful. Give us that name again, please, Anthony.
St. Raphael Arnaiz. He was canonized by Pope Benedict XVI.
Oh, just recent then. Oh, wonderful.
That's wonderful. Very recent.
So for Cistercians, so they don't say I'm a Benedictine oblate. So like for some of the orders, like for the mendicant orders, or for like the Jesuits, they call them the lay people or clergy who are not in the order but want to live that spirituality in the world, we call them Benedicts. We call them oblates. Others call them third order. What do the Cistercians call folks like yourself?
From my knowledge, it's just as a lay Cistercian, so somewhat similar to the Benedictine oblates.
Okay, Lisa. Okay, very good. That's awesome, Anthony. I love learning new things. And so here's a person I've never heard of before. And now, St. Raphael, here's someone that we can all pray to and ask for his intercession. You know, I'm sure that on the Cistercian calendar, they have him on there and they celebrate him. But this is good for all of us to know about him. Thank you so much, Anthony, for your call. We're talking about youth and young adult saints, blesseds, who inspire us on Beacon of Truth today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Donna is calling from Pennsylvania, listening on Holy Spirit. All right. Well, welcome, Donna, to Beacon of Truth.
Hello?
Yeah, Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I was listening to the radio or to the phone, but I was bringing up the EWTN station, I think, from Sirius. So that's what I was asking.
Yeah, you got to turn down. Yeah, you got to turn down your radio when you're actually on the call because there's a delay there. So.
Yeah, it's turned off now.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, so my question is, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead, please, go. Thank you.
Okay, I apologize. And thank you for taking my call. But my question is, my husband's family is Protestant. They grew up Protestant. My husband has since converted to Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And the question always comes up as to, why do you go to confession when I could just say that, forgive me, God, I'm a sinner, and it's done? What is the significance of Catholics going to confession and going to a priest and confessing to a priest?
Okay, well, first of all, if they have that belief, just pray to God, it must be somewhere in Scripture. Jesus must have said it. Right? I mean, if you're going to say, just pray to Jesus, your sins are forgiven, Jesus must have said, pray to me and your sins are forgiven. But that's not what Jesus says. In John chapter 20, verse 19, it's the evening of the resurrection. There are 10 of the apostles are in the upper room. Jesus comes in their midst. He says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when Jesus said this, he breathed on them and said, on the 10 apostles that are in that room, he breathed the power of the life-giving power of the Holy Spirit into them and said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. Jesus gave specific and direct authority to forgive sins in his holy name to those first bishops, those first priests. Jesus did not say, hey guys, just tell the people pray to me and I'll forgive their sins. That's not scriptural. That's not what Jesus teaches. Now, why did Jesus give that authority to forgive sins to the apostles? Why didn't just Jesus tell them that everybody pray to him? Remember, Jesus says, I've not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. So if you look in the Old Testament, particularly Leviticus, well, many, many places, but I want to focus on Leviticus chapter 5. It talks about you have to go to the priest to have your sin forgiven. So if you look at Leviticus chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, it's a laundry list of sins. Then verse 5 says, if a man has committed any of these, he shall confess the sin he has committed. So you have to confess the sin in order for the sin to be forgiven. But it continues. You have to bring your guilt offering to the Lord for the sin he has committed, a lamb or sheep or a goat. And the priest shall make atonement for your sin. Who makes the atonement? The priest. The person just doesn't. It says, yes, you have to confess your sin, but you have to go to the priest. That's all throughout the Old Testament. Jesus, now you don't have to bring a lamb or a sheep or a goat. Why? Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So all we need to bring now is ourselves, our brokenness, our lust, our pride, our hatred, all those things that separate us from God's love, we bring that to the priest. And when we hear the priest says, I absolve you. He can only say that if he was given the authority by Jesus Christ himself to forgive sins, which is exactly what Jesus did in John chapter 20. He gave them specific and direct authority to forgive sins. Why? Jesus still wants to touch us with his own hands. He still wants to love us with his own heart. And so he gave us the priests, right? Who are in persona Christi or in the person of Christ. When we hear the words from the priest, we're hearing the words of Jesus forgiving the sin through the priest. Does that make sense, Donna?
It does make sense. And I'm wondering if I could ask a follow-up question. I know that a lot of the books, I think it's 9 books in the Catholic Bible are not in the Protestant Bible.
Yeah. Leviticus is there, though. They have 39 books in their Old Testament. We have 46 books. So we include Judith, Tobit, Wisdom, Sirach, Baruch, and 1 and 2 Maccabees, and parts of the book of Daniel and parts of the book of Ezra. And Luther took those books out because the Jews did not consider those books scripture because they were not written in Hebrew. They were written by the diaspora Jews, which were in Greek, although part of the Dead Sea Scrolls showed that some of those books were written in Hebrew. So now we got a problem, right? So that's why we have, but the thing is, the reason why we include those books as Catholics, if you look at the New Testament, there's 360 quotes from the Old Testament that are in the New Testament. So in other words, the New Testament quotes the Old Testament 360 times. 300 of those 360 quotes are from what's called the Septuagint, which includes those 7 books that the Protestants are missing. So in other words, that's what the apostles considered scripture. So that's what we consider scripture, including those other 7 books.
And so, but they would have Leviticus to say,
yes.
It shouldn't be unknown or foreign to them.
Yes. Everybody has the Pentateuch, the first 5 books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Yes.
Okay, great. So much for answering my question. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome. Thank you so much for calling, Donna. A little bit off topic, but that's okay. It's all good here on Beacon of Truth. We're talking about youth and young adults who inspire. Who are some of the youth and young adult saints that inspire your faith, that enliven your faith? I know I have my list, which I'm going to share with you, but would love to hear from you. Who are some of the youth and young adult saints that can inspire our young people today who are so lost and broken and confused? Who are some of the saints that can really light up their lives, you know, that really inspire them to live their faith with passion and conviction? That's what we're talking about today. Youth and young adults who inspire us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, I know for me, there's some folks in the Old Testament that truly inspire me, some youth. Samuel, for example. Remember, Samuel is one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Samuel, though, when he was called by God, did not recognize God's voice. Remember, he was in the temple with the priest Eli. And while he was sleeping, the Lord called him as a teenager. Samuel, Samuel. Samuel thought that Eli was calling him. So he goes to Eli, yeah, you called me. No, no. So 3 times. And so finally, Eli recognizes the Lord is calling the boy. So he says, next time you hear that voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Right? So one of the things that I get from Samuel is how to listen to God's voice, right? And responding to that voice when the Lord calls us. And notice how the priest helped them to recognize God's voice. That's what we need today. We need parents, priests, deacons, catechists, teaching our young people how to hear God's voice in this culture. And the key to listening to God's voice is silence. To really embrace and be comfortable in silence so we can truly hear God speaking to our hearts. Right, so that's how Samuel inspires me. And of course, David, the greatest king in the history of Israel, was called by God as a teenager when he killed Goliath. He was a teenager. So David trusts. I love the trust that David has in God. He stands before God, and Goliath is insulted. Wait a minute. Here I am, a man, a warrior, and you bring this boy to fight me? He's insulted. He goes, am I? And what does he come with? Not even a sword, not even a shield. He comes with the sling and the five smooth stones. And Goliath says, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And David says, you come to me with sword and scabbard and shield, and you know, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, Yahweh Sabaoth in Hebrew, the God of armies. So David understood that God fights with him and for him. And so many of our young people can learn from David's example today when they're trying to fight the culture of woke, when they're trying to find the culture of death, you know, against the culture of life, when the culture is so focused on the God of me, myself, and I, you know, worshiping the Trinity of me, myself, and I, where I'm the focus of and the center of all meaning and existence, you know, in the confusion over sexuality and gender. You know, all these things, you know, these saints can help our young people think through by the inspiration of their lives and how they responded to God working in their lives. So David, man, I love David. Now, David wasn't perfect, right? When he was older, right, as an adult, the whole Bathsheba thing. But he was still a man after God's own heart, because none of us are perfect. We're all sinners and need God's mercy. But David is an inspiration to me for sure. And then we have David's son, Solomon, right? So Solomon is a teenager. When David dies, Solomon is a teenager. And he takes over. He goes, remember, he says, I'm too young. I don't know how to go in or come out, or I don't know what's going on. And so the Lord says, well, I'll give you whatever you want. And so think of what teenagers would ask for today if the Lord says, I'll give you whatever you want. What would teenagers ask for, right? Just think about that for a second. But what does Solomon ask for? He says, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me an understanding mind so that I may rule your people well. I love that. And so the Lord said, I not only will I give you wisdom, I'll give you more than what you asked for. Because that's what happens when we completely give our lives and our hearts over to God. He will often give us more than what we asked for or even imagine. I know that is so true for my life. That is so true for my life. And I take inspiration from, again, Solomon wasn't perfect when he became an adult. He had like almost 1,000 wives. And then he ended up worshiping the idols of the pagan gods of his wives and fell away from the Lord. Again, the wisest king in the history of David was the greatest king. Solomon was the wisest king. I mean, think of the books, you know, Wisdom. He wrote a couple of Psalm 127, and he wrote a lot of the wisdom books there, Ecclesiastes, and you know, but still he fell away from the Lord. So we got to be careful. You know, we can't become too confident, too arrogant. You know, we always have to be humble before the Lord, right? What is humility? Humility is not thinking less of yourself, is thinking of yourself less, right? It's that making sure that we're always using our life as a gift to others, right? Is when you give yourself away in love, is when you truly find yourself in God. And that's some of the inspiration I take from some of these youth and young adult saints. As we're talking about today, youth and young adult saints and blesseds who inspire us. Who are your go-to youth and young adult saints who inspire you? Given the fact that Pope Francis is probably going to canonize two of them next year, would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, come on now. Of all the saints in the Old and New Testament, I mean, who is greater than the Blessed Virgin Mary, teenager, when she said yes to God, working her life to become the mother of God? That's, I mean, amazing, awesome. You know, and I think we underestimate our teenagers today. We just think, oh, they're just kids, oh, they can't. But my experience has been these kids want to hear truth. They want to hear truth. And whose truth? Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and life. That's what they want to hear. and we're not giving it to them. We're not answering their questions. You know, we have to address these issues of truth and love, but we have to make sure our young people understand the why of our faith, why we believe what we believe, why it's true, good, and beautiful, why we have to stand up against this culture. And it's really hard for them because they're at an age where they want to be accepted. They got to have friends and be accepted into certain groups. And some young people are willing to sacrifice their beliefs to be part of a group. And that's dangerous. You know, so I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be without friends. I want to be part of this peer group. Well, we need to make sure that they have good peer groups to be part of, right? Youth groups and parishes and things like that. But, you know, not sacrifice or compromising the beauty and truth of our faith. So we're talking about saints, blesseds, who inspire us, who inspire young youth and young adults, blessed saints who inspire us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Two more that always inspire me are Felicity and Perpetua. I love when they come up in the Roman canon, Eucharistic prayer number one, right? Felicity, Perpetua, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia. You know, they're right in there. And they lived right at the beginning of the third century. So right at the year 200, 203, they were, of course, martyrs, early Christian martyrs in the church. They were arrested and imprisoned. Perpetua was only 22 years old, and Felicity was her servant and was pregnant, right? So Felicity was pregnant during the time of her of when she was arrested. And their crime was what? Defying the emperor by becoming Christians, right? And so they were waiting to be executed. Perpetua's father begged her daughter to save her life and the life of her baby by renouncing her faith. And she said, I can't do that because I'm a Christian. You see this, she held up a vessel, like a vase. You see this vase? It can't be called anything else except a vase. And I'm a Christian. I can't call myself anything else but a Christian. You know, just beautiful the way these young people stood up. I mean, death. They literally faced death and still stood up for their faith. Amazing. We're talking about youth and young adults who inspire us today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Kirk is calling from Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Kirk, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you. I just had a question on Michelle Dupont, who is a local person here, and I know you're aware of her. I have to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Michelle Dupont? I'm not familiar with her. I'm not familiar with who that is. So unfortunately, I can't answer your question because I don't know anything about her. I know there's some in some dioceses there's some people being considered, but I don't know anything about Michelle Dupont. I apologize for that. We're talking about saints and blesseds, youth and young adult saints and blesseds who inspire us today. Let's go to Joe calling from Connecticut, listening on Veritas. Joe, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Beacon Harold.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
So I know you were asking for some inspirational young adults or saints as well as blessed. There's two that come to mind. Saint Teresa, for one.
Yes.
And the other one is a blessed, and his life story is really about when he was a young adult, and he died at a young age, but Blessed Michael McGivney.
Oh, yeah, the founder of the Knights of Columbus.
Correct.
How old was he when he died?
38.
Ah, okay. Yeah, pretty young. Wow.
But he started, he was actually in formation when he was 17 and, needed to come home to be the breadwinner when his dad passed away, and was only the grace of God was permitted to go back to formation. And he was a priest in his mid-20s in a short period of time in New Haven, Connecticut, you know, guarded the Knights of Columbus for a big thing. And he's actually up for canonization right now. And we're all praying on a daily basis for his sainthood.
Oh, of course. You see the impact that the Knights of Columbus have all around the world is just unmistakable. I mean, you know, and so, I know his cause is open. I didn't realize he was that young, though. That's good to know. That's really good to know. And again, here's another person that can inspire youth and young adults today. I mean, I think we don't completely underestimate our young people. We say, like, well, they're the future of the church. They're not the future of the church. They're the church now. And I think we need to allow them, you know, when God's inspired them, to open their hearts to receive everything God wants to give them. I remember meeting a young person who wanted to go to public school. Their parents wanted to send them to Catholic school. They said, no, I want to go to public schools. I want to be able to defend my faith. I was like, what? And so they're actually in public school. They have to every day against the gender stuff and the life stuff, they have to defend their faith. Because he says to parents, if I'm not there, then who's going to be there to evangelize? See, that's what I'm talking about. That's awesome. All right. Well, tomorrow on Beacon of Truth, we didn't get through all the saints today. That's okay. We'll probably do a part two. We're going to talk about the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We got that for feast day coming up this week. We'll talk about the presentation of Blessed Virgin Mary. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.